Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed. Fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
So, you think you're Brad Pitt? That don't impress me much.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and you are live with me for the latest Manchester United news and transfer news this Tuesday morning, the 2nd of December. What did you get in your advent calendar? It's going to be one of those mornings. But Manchester United are ready to let Kobbie Mainoo go. They're not in the race for Semenyo. It's over for Onana. Amrim has decided where his three transfer priorities are. There's an update on Xerxes as well, and Conor Gallagher, and a few other bits. So quite a lot to get our teeth into this morning on the United Stand. And as always, if you're watching live, get your comments in as well. So I tell you what, Polo United FC, I like what you've just said there. You've said sign Tao from Newcastle. What a signing. Last three games, incredible. Absolutely incredible. Why do Newcastle make good signings? Like Bruno Guimaraes, Joel Linton, Tao, they're good players. They're good players. But yeah, we're not going to be signing that, are we? We're not going to be signing them. But look, let's start off. Jaden says, not Mainoo, bro. Look, it may not come as a surprise. There's a couple of stories to start at the start that, you know, Semenyo, Onana, Mainoo. There's a lot to get into this morning, but we're going to sort of start off with the end. It looks like it's the end of the road for Mainoo under Ruben Amorim. This is coming in from The Athletic this morning. And also for Onana, Fabrizio Romano reporting last night that the chapter for Onana as a Man United goalkeeper is closed. He will look for a new club in June. I mean, you know, I think we all know that, but just to give you that. But let's start off with the Mainoo story. So essentially, this is coming in from Laurie Whitwell in The Athletic, where he says, you'd think it's likely that Mainoo will go out on loan in January. I was told that will be looked at strongly if the situation hadn't changed since the summer, which it clearly hasn't, or Ruben Amorim was still here as the manager as well, which he clearly still will. So more talk about it is also if Man United were to bring somebody else in, it would cost more, at least more in wages due to the contract he signed in 2023. Finances do come into it. The new player would have to get up to speed with Amorim, what Amorim wants. Maybe the player is not playing, but Amorim gets what he wants from the player. So, look, essentially, I think what that is that if Ruben Amorim was sacked, Mainoo would be happy. And if Mainoo had been playing since the summer, he'd be happy. Neither of those two things have changed. So it means that we're pretty much where we were in the last week of the summer transfer window, where Mainoo wanted to go out on loan. So, look, I wouldn't say it's shocking news. It is shocking because I don't want it to happen. And I think some people don't want it to happen. But we are like 4 weeks away from the January transfer window now. We've had August, September, October, November. We've had 4 months of this season and he's not been used. We've got 4 weeks left and we're supposed to think that's going to change. And even if it did change, I was even thinking this morning, like even if he started against West Ham, that would be because Casemiro or Bruno were injured and he'd be out of the team again. Like, I don't think we're going to learn. What I'm trying to say is we're not going to learn anything in the next 4 weeks. Oh, we might get a bit of game time because of the AFCON. So what? That's not what he's looking for. And that's not an indicator that he's part of the plans. So look, we shouldn't
we shouldn't be too surprised that this is going to happen. It does concern me slightly that United might use wages as a. I mean, look, this is not a football club. That's a statement. Man United is not a football club anyway, but it's not a football club when you say we might not let Maynou go because his replacement will be costing us more in wages. I mean, who does that? Who makes decisions like that in football? Yeah, you're not part of our plans and you're not part of the manager's plans and you're really unhappy, but we're not letting you go because your wages are cheap and if we replace you, there'll be more. You can't do that. That's ridiculous. But I wouldn't put it past Man United doing that, but you shouldn't be doing that. So, look, it is what it is. I think we're into that area now where I don't think much can change this. You know, Ruben Amorim would need to have a personality transplant to start picking Maynou on the regular between now and January, and that's not going to happen. I personally think the reason he keeps saying, I feel really bad about Maynou, he's a starter that's not starting, and he should be starting, he's training so well. I think we all know what that's about. That's about keeping his value up, isn't it? Actions speak louder than words, and maybe he's right. Maybe he is. Maybe Maynou is shit. Maybe he has an issue. We don't know, but I think it's a shame when our midfield isn't particularly good that we can't give him an opportunity, which I think hopefully he will get elsewhere. So, look, it's not breaking news from Laurie Whitwell or The Athletic. It's common sense. The situation hasn't changed from the summer with the manager or with his playing time, so we should be letting him go. What I want to see happening is that it happens on January the 1st. What I want to see happening is that we're bringing another midfielder in, because I don't want to see Maynou go, but if we're not going to use him, he's useless. You know, there's no point having a Ferrari in your drive and then, you know, using your Vauxhall Astra to go to see your mates and stuff like that. Like, oh, I've got a Ferrari at home. Like, we either use it or we don't. And if we're not going to use it, we should lose it and get something that we are going to use. And look, it should only be a loan deal anyway. I don't think there's any indication that it would be a permanent deal. But correct me if I'm wrong, I think the logical thing here is we let him go on loan, we bring somebody else in, and we all move forward. Last season, this worked really well with Anthony and Rashford. Unfortunately, it led to permanent moves. I don't want that with Maynou, but I don't know that there's a way back. I don't know that there is a way back. People say if he goes out on loan, he can come back. I think I'm going to say it. Whilst Ruben Amorim's the manager of Man United, I think Maynou's only movement is out of the football club. I don't really think there's many occasions where a player is snubbed for a whole 12 months, because it is a whole 12 months. As I said at the end of the show last night, he couldn't get in the worst ever Premier League side Man United have ever had last season, and he can't get into the team this year. So he's been pretty much snubbed from day one by Ruben Amorim. Amorim doesn't rate him, whatever it is, right? He goes on loan somewhere else and does okay in a different system. And Amorim's meant to go, oh, you know what? He's playing really well in a 4-3-3. I don't think it gets better while Amorim's the manager for Maynou. I don't. But he's got to get out in January. And United have got to bring somebody in. And we'll talk about that in a moment, because that's the second part of the story. But I've just seen Knight on Timing say Semenyo no. So this was never happening. And you know what? I could sit here and say, I said this back, I was told this back in April that we weren't in for Semenyo when certain talk shit reporters were saying that we were. I told you in the summer we weren't in for Semenyo because I was told we weren't. And, you know, a lot of people saying, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. And I've been saying it for the last few weeks, we're not in for Semenyo. And people will be going, you don't know what you're talking about. We're looking at it. Right. Fabrizio Romano, say what you want. When it comes to transfers, bang on. Manchester United are not in active talks to sign Semenyo in January. Their focus is to invest big money on other positions, i.e. a midfielder. So we can park Semenyo. We are not in active talks to sign Semenyo. We are basically being used, aren't we? We're being used because Semenyo is looking for a deal out of Bournemouth and everybody will use Man United. So we're not in for him. You know, maybe there was something in it to think because of what Amorim had said about having an Ahmad on the left, but we're not in for him. So, and we never were. I've never been excited about, he's a good player. He's a bloody good player, but we were never in for him. Like, how were we in for him in April or the summer when we got Cunha and Mbeumo and they were our top two? We were never in active talks. We were never in advanced talks. He might have been on a list, but he wasn't a priority and he's not a priority now. Sometimes the claims will be false, you know, and I think with Semenyo, I mean, I like the player, but I wouldn't want us to spend £65 million on him in January. I think we have to be looking at other priorities in the midfield. Exactly, we do. So that's news for you this morning from Fabrizio. But continuing with the Athletic article about Maynou, basically it says midfield is the priority. United want a dynamic presence in the centre of the pitch, a player capable of winning possession and getting the ball moving forward. It goes on to say that Baleba, despite his drop-off in form this season, remains prominent on United's list. Elliot Anderson has emerged as a primary focus of attention after a series of impressive displays for Forest in England. Adam Wharton is also under consideration. I'm not. I thought I was going to sneeze. I thought I was going to do my morning sneeze there. So look, yeah. The question is, what are we going to do? I think when you look at these updates, and it is the 2nd of December, there's a logical conclusion that we have to buy in January. You know, we're not looking at Semenyo. We are looking to move Maynou on. The midfield is bereft of, you know, real quality, certainly in depth. And yet the players we're being linked to won't be January signings. Elliot Anderson, Baleba, Wharton won't be January signings unless something strange happens with Baleba, which you could see happening. But I think it just comes down to the fact that we have to do something in January. And I wonder what it is we've got lined up, because everything points towards that. I think sometimes you approach a January transfer window and you're like, I want this player, I want that player, will the club do it? And you know they're not going to do it. You know, you're banging your head up against the brick wall. But it's just so logical that we're very light in the midfield anyway. We play two midfielders and we only have four. So if one gets injured, you can only sub one because you've only got three. So we're light anyway. We have to let Maynou go. So you have to replace Maynou in a position where we need a midfielder. So everything points towards us doing signing midfielder in January. The question is going to be, what type of a midfielder are we going to go for? And I can't see it being Elliot Anderson. I can't see it being Elliot Anderson anyway. I mean, apparently he follows bloody Man City on Instagram. I don't know whether that's true. But I can't see that being the case. And I think that you therefore start wandering back towards other players again, don't you? You know, we were talking about Edison yesterday. Obviously, we've spoken previously about João Gomes, which doesn't look possible. But the Conor Gallagher one does appeal to me. And there was an update from Fabrizio Romano that I wanted to bring in. On João Gomes, The Athletic are saying that Manchester United are not anticipated to enter talks for João Gomes. United could make a low-cost move in January if an opportunity arises, but no long-term signing is expected. Talks will only happen if circumstances change. I mean, that terrifies the crap out of me. That terrifies the crap out of me that these owners are basically just the Glazers in different clothings. I mean, I read that second part and I'm like, United could make a low-cost move in January if an opportunity arises, but no long-term signing is expected. Talks will only happen if circumstances change. So what are we playing at? What are we going to do? Force Maynou to basically write off a year of his career because the prats at the top of our football club want to save money? At what point are we going to behave like a fucking football club? It infuriates me. At what point are we going to actually start to get our head in the game and realise that the January transfer window is a relevant window? It's utilised by top clubs in this league to sign decent players. And we sit there like it's a nice to have. The summer is what it's all about. No, no. You've got to let Maynou go. And then you've got to replace him. There is no fan of Man United that thinks that the Maynou Amorim situation is a good one that should carry on for another 6 months. It definitely, definitely shouldn't. You can see it in Maynou's face when he's on the touchline that he ain't happy. You can tell by Amorim's actions that he doesn't want to use him. And the football club are willing to go, well, let's just keep it how it is for now. Like we're securely in the top four. You've got to act. You've got to act. You've got to do something in January. You can't just go, oh, if an opportunity arises. Big clubs make opportunities happen. Benfica didn't want Enzo Fernandez to leave in January. He did, and he was a Chelsea player. So stop being so passive and keeping your money in your pocket and go and bloody spend some money, because we all know you've got some because you didn't spend the Belabor money. So opportunities are already there. You need to go and take them. And that's where I think it gets interesting around what Fabrizio said about the Conor Gallagher situation, because Atletico Madrid rejected Manchester United's offer for Conor Gallagher on loan last summer. So some people don't want to believe that we were interested in Conor Gallagher in the summer. We were. We approached Atletico Madrid in the final 2 weeks of the window. And what I was told is that if they'd got Conor Gallagher, they probably would have let Mainoo go. So we're back in that situation again. Je repite. If you let Mainoo go, you could get Conor Gallagher in. You might not like that. Amrim did like that. So we now have a situation where Fabrizio is saying they might be open to letting him go for about £26 million, which recoups most of the £34 million they paid for Chelsea. The fee is small enough that it may happen as early as January. So look, if you're asking me, like, do I want to sign nobody in the midfield in January and keep Mainoo? Or do I want to let Mainoo go on loan and sign Conor Gallagher? Oh my God, it's just so bloody obvious. Yeah, let Mainoo go on loan and sign Conor Gallagher. Absolutely. Because anybody who thinks that, well, let's just wait till the summer and sign Eddie Anderson and Belabor, there are other clubs that are going to go for these players. We might end up signing Conor Gallagher as our midfielder in the summer, and that might be it. I've supported Man United all my life. I've seen us do shit transfer windows when they're selling good transfer windows. What if Anderson and Wharton go somewhere else? And then we end up signing Conor Gallagher anyway in the summer. So, Conor Gallagher's not my dream midfielder, but we only have two midfielders, Casemiro and Bruno. Ugarte and Mainoo aren't even Man United players. They don't get used. We have to do something in January. I can't believe people sit there and go, let's not do anything in January, let's wait till the summer. Like you are in charge, like you know what's going to happen. I'm telling you now, do nothing in January because you think you're waiting for Elliot Anderson. We don't sign Elliot Anderson. We don't sign Adam Wharton. Because they go to other clubs. Because we mess up the season. That's what happens. We have to do something that... Look, you can't... If your roof's leaking and the builders you want to use are busy, do you let your roof leak or do you use another builder? It's as simple as that. That's the analogy in 4K. It's that simple. Our roof is leaking. Do we want this builder, but he's really busy until the summer? Well, it's going to rain a lot over the winter. Do we get another builder in who's available? 100%. 100%. Otherwise, we're leaving the leak there and then we're going, well, at least it's fixed in the summer. Oh, he's gone and got himself booked up again. We'll use that builder anyway. Have to do it. Old Trafford Malik says, would you take Glasner to keep Cobby this summer? I've seen nothing in the way that Glasner plays football that makes me want him at Manchester United. I know he can play different football, but I mean, I don't think Crystal Palace play a style of football that's particularly alluring. It's effective for Crystal Palace, and I credit them. You know, they did brilliantly in the FA Cup last year, but I don't think it's a great way of... I don't think it's a great way to watch football. Morning, Mark. Day two of celibacy until United win a title, says TBS Move. Get yourself on TikTok, mate, and maybe you can be like United Strand. You could be United Stiffy. I don't know. United Stiff. Is Lacey's Amrim's academy player to bring in, says Raj. Well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we? I mean, he's sat on the bench for the last two games and he's certainly... It could be United Stiff. You can't have United Stand. How much can Wharton improve? Look, in relation to Lacey, I'm sure he'll get some minutes at some point, yeah. How much can Wharton improve our midfield, says Ray Simpson. I think Jordan Henderson would improve our midfield, so Wharton would improve our midfield massively, yes. Raj says, if Mainoo can't be developed, why sign Orozco? Because United are on this track of let's buy young players and develop them into the next Caicedo, but they don't realise what... The hypocrisy is incredible. You make a great point. We buy these players cheap, right? Certain elements of our fan base get absolutely, you know, go absolutely mad with positivity and excitement and, you know, get their bloody oven gloves out because they think we're cooking. So we bought another midfielder who's going to be the next Caicedo. I mean, Kone was going to be that as well a year ago. Obi was going to be the next Rooney. Heaven was going to be the next Rio. You know, we bring these young players in. Everybody gets really excited. And there's two things for me. One, even if they are good, it's going to take years. And two, why isn't it worked with Mainoo? Why didn't it work with Garnacho? Why is it now we're not working with Yoro? Why isn't it working with Dorgu? What, we don't develop young players. So we've got the next Caicedo, but in Mainoo, 18 months ago, we had the next great English midfielder. And now we don't, because we can't develop young talent. We don't have the environment for it. So yeah, it's great that we buy all these young players in and maybe one of them one day will break through. But I think the Ineos strategy is laughable, to be bringing all these young players in, pumping the PR train, and we've literally got a 20-year-old midfielder who was playing for England 18 months ago in the Euros final, who we're looking to loan because we won't use or develop him. I mean, incredible. Absolutely incredible. And did you see that story? I saw it last night. Pratthurst, what's his name? Lookhurst. I mean, he hasn't got any bloody sources anyway, but this just made me laugh. So he said, just in, Manchester United staff are baffled by Luke Shaw's continued omission from the England squad. United sources are adamant that Luke Shaw should not be discounted as an option at left back as he's playing on the left of Amorim's back three. Despite criticism from former United captain Gary Neville last week, United insiders believe Shaw is having a good season. What a load of absolute tosh. I mean, there are people within Man United who absolutely rim Man United players every opportunity they can get. I don't think it's the way we should behave as a football club. I don't think we should be holding average players up as superstars and idols. I really don't. Oh, you've had a few good games. Oh my God, look at them cooking. But that's United trying to sell their PR machine, even when we're shit. But there are not people within Man United, Carrington, going, I can't believe Luke Shaw's not getting picked for England. Oh, I can't believe it. I'm thinking of writing a letter of complaint. They are just thankful every single day he walks into training and he's fit. You know, he is having a good season because he's fit. As if Man United's coaches and fitness department are going, oh, I can't believe he's not being called up for England. This is an absolute travesty. You know, if I could get my way, I'd love him to go and play for England and play another two games in the space of a week. Man United do not want Luke Shaw playing for England. They do. Why would they? You know, he's a broken vase. You know, he's been glued together more times than anything. They do not want him playing for England. They might put it out there to make him feel good, but I don't want him to play for England. I hope he never plays for England again. Man United pay him nearly 200 grand a week. I don't give a shit about England. And I don't give a shit about Luke Shaw playing for England. So why would Man United give a shit about England? I mean, it's laughable. Can you imagine that in Carrington? We're fuming. We're absolutely... Forget where we are in the league. Why is Luke Shaw not being picked for England? I mean, they're just absolutely incredible that anybody would think for one second that Man United, who pay a guy's wages, who's barely played for the last 3 years, are going, oh, I wish he could go and play for England again and get injured. No. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. The PR department, you know, the admins, the socials, they might be stunned, but the fitness department, Ruben Amorim, that, you know, it's very rare. I go back to the Sir Alex Ferguson era. The amount of times Ryan Giggs would get a hamstring tweak and miss Wales games was incredible. He'd play before, and he'd play straight after. But for the internationals, he'd have a problem. Because Sir Alex Ferguson, and I think any manager really doesn't want their players playing international football. They're not going to say you can't. And they're not going to say it to their face. But deep down, if your players get a couple of weeks off, brilliant. Should Luke Shaw be in the England squad? Don't give a toss. I think it's quite funny if he doesn't get in it. Because if he's staying fit to get in the England squad, it'll be funny if he doesn't. But in fairness, No, I don't see why he would get in the England squad. They play a back four, and the centre-backs that they're using are better than him. Gehi, Konsa, John Stones, they're all better than him. And at left-back, I don't think he's a left-back anymore. I wish he was still a left-back because I'd probably use him. But I don't think his body's capable of playing left-back. I think he's a decent left centre-back. And I think this system does suit him. I don't think he can play left-back anymore. And I don't think he could play left centre-back in a four. So I think in a three, as a left centre-back, it works. And Gary Neville was right. Gary Neville was right. In the second half, he was a waste of space against Everton. He was blowing out of his arse. And I don't think he's got the energy for it. I think he plays well in the first half and he played well against Palace. But I don't think he should be in the England squad. I'm still in awe of the miracle of Luke Shaw. Like, he needs to write a book. Like, you know, Joe Wicks is shitting himself. Like, Joe Wicks is this guy in the UK who does all the fitness stuff. Luke Shaw needs to get a DVD out for Christmas. How to stay fit. Because it's incredible. Incredible what he's done. So, look, as long as he stays fit, we've got a decent player there. I don't want him playing for England. We pay his wages. Marlow said, Solskjaer said, Bruno was the reason McTominay played out of position. At the time, it was only right. Bruno was one of the best 10s in the world. But now the same is happening with Mainoo, and this time it's a disgrace. Well, I mean, let's go back there then. I think with regards to Mainoo, he is a midfielder, and his place is being taken by shoehorning Bruno into a position he's not even good at. I mean, that's the truth. Is Bruno better than Mainoo?
Now it's time for a little word from today's podcast sponsor. And as a preview, they have a great discount for you. It's been a long season so far, and after a year of grinding, you've earned a little something special for yourself. This upcoming festive season is all about taking a break, recharging, and actually enjoying the things you want. And that's where Air Up comes in. Air Up lets you drink plain water that tastes full of flavour through scent alone. No sugar, no additives, just simple hydration made better. And for someone who spends as much time talking football as I do, it's been a great addition to the routine. If you want to try it for yourself, hit the link in the show notes or visit airup.link/theunitedstand. And of course, you can use the code GOLD and you get an amazing 10% off at checkout. So what are you waiting for? Smash the link in the show notes or visit airup.link/theunitedstand and elevate your hydration game today.
Well, you have to say, in Amrim's eyes, he clearly is. But Mainoo's career has been stunted by shoehorning Bruno into a position I don't think he's even that good at. That's not up for debate. You might prefer Bruno to Mainoo in the eight, in the pivot, but that's the truth. Who, in your opinion, played better against us, Wharton or Anderson, Suspecta? Oh, 100% Anderson. I mean, I think if you checked out the Brighton game, Forest Brighton game on Sunday afternoon, I sort of had all three games and I was flicking between them. Although Forest lost 2-0, Anderson was the best player on the pitch, which is incredible when you lose 2-0. So Anderson's the best player that's played against us out of Belaba, Anderson and Wharton. Wharton is sort of good at everything without being great at any particular thing. I think Belaba, when he was on it, is incredibly intense, can carry the ball really well, and is quite good at tackling. I think Anderson is the head and shoulders best passer of the ball in the league from the midfield. Really tenacious. I think Anderson's really good at four or five things. I think Belaba's really good at two or three things, and Wharton's not really good at anything. He's just a steady all-rounder. So I think Anderson's the play to go for. But it's incredible again. You know, when we're talking about the priority being a midfielder, I'd be slightly worried by that Laurie Whitwell update from The Athletic, because one, The Athletic are very pro Man United, probably because they've got a deal with them, and they're a bit of a mouthpiece for them. And I'm a little bit concerned by the talk of midfield being a priority, but it's sort of pushing us towards the summer, like we're not going to do anything. I didn't like the update about Mainoo needs to go, but financially they might look at that and decide not to do it until the summer. And all the targets are targets that would be for the summer, which, you know, that concerns me a lot. And what if we go for a midfielder, but we don't bring them in until the last week of January as well? I mean, as I say, I think when you've got a problem, solve it. And solve it right at the start of the January window. I bet we won't. I bet you any money we don't solve this problem at the start of January. I bet Mainoo's not going out on loan on January the 1st and a midfielder's coming in on January the 2nd. It'll be a money exercise again. It will be right at the end of the window as per usual. And how many games are we going to... I think we play Man City in January. Like, there are difficult games in the latter part of January where you could be strengthening yourself. But United never... We never think like that. And as I said, belabour on that list becomes more and more shocking by the week. I don't know how United have the balls to put it out there that despite him being shit, he still remains high on the list. I mean, how do you justify that? Our scouting department believes he's a really good player up until last summer, and we're going to completely ignore the last 6 months. So he's still a high priority because in the summer we thought he was a good player, right? But now we're not going to listen to him. You know, now we're going to go for it, you know? It's ridiculous. It's like being a director of a film, right? And saying, you know, I want this actor for the job. I'm convinced he's perfect for the job. And then somebody saying, you know, he did die in the summer. Well, can we get him on AI? You know? And I think in relation to Belabour's career, it's not the same as it was in the summer. The last 6 months, his career has died on its arse. Mentally, on the pitch, he's a mess. He didn't even start against Forest at the weekend. He came on for 4 minutes. So I just don't understand how United can still be locked in on Belabour based on scouting and data that was only valid up until June. You know, download the update. You're playing on a previous version. There's a new version of the game and you're playing on the old version. Download the update, yeah? They're using Football Manager a year out of date. Update your data. There's a new download there and it's free. Look, maybe Belabour starts playing well this week and for the rest of the season. Put him back on the list. But he can't be a priority when he's showing you all the problems that are there, in my opinion. We've seen Belabour be awesome. The talent is there, says G-Man. Mate, we've seen Jadon Sancho be awesome. The talent was there. I mean, if you genuinely want to sign Belabour, that's up to you. But you're not convincing me. I ain't spending a penny on him. That doesn't mean I want to piss on him. I mean, like, I generally wouldn't spend one pence on him. I think he's been a disgrace this season. Considering the world is looking at him as a Man United player, and he's played absolutely shit every single week for 4 months. That is a red flag. Sorry, he's not a Man United player at the moment. He's a Brighton player. I don't have to champion him or anything like that. If he wants to be a Man United player, be the player you were last year. Don't bottle it and not turn up. I mean, to me, he just looks like a spoiled brat. He looks like, oh, I didn't get my own way, so I'm not going to try. That's terrifying. I don't want a player that downs tools because they're not getting their own way. That is a terrible, terrible personality trait. So explain to me, I mean, I didn't expect the show to go here. It's turning into a bit of an 8 o'clock show. But explain to me why we should sign Belabour then. Or more importantly, explain to me why he's been shit for 5 months. That's what I want the answer to. Why has he been so crap for 5 months? Tell me. And if the reason is because he didn't get his move to Man United, well, there you go then. He's downing tools because he didn't get what he wants. Brighton to Man United, oh, it's great because he wants to come to us. What if he comes to Man United and at 25 he wants to go to Real Madrid and we say no? We're not the best team in the world, mate. What about when the upgrade is Man United to somewhere else and he goes, I don't want to do it. I'm not playing for you. I'm not going to try. Don't want these types of players. I want people like Cunha, who when Wolves are in a relegation battle, rolls his sleeves up and leads the team. I want people like Mbeumo, who when Brentford are an underdog, rolls his sleeve up and leads the team. We need mentality kings. We don't need these sort of types of players. We really don't. In my opinion, we don't. Let me catch up on some other bits as well. There was a story coming in relation to... well, actually, it also goes on to say in The Athletic that Manchester United may also look at a central defender and a right-footed attacking wing-back on the left-hand side as well. But interestingly, in that article, it doesn't... I mean, look, I think this is where it gets a little bit silly in my mind because you read the article and it says the priority is a midfielder, maybe a centre back, and maybe a right-footed wing back. What about the experienced striker? What about the other midfielder that we need? I mean, I don't know about you, but I look at Man United at the moment and I think we need another striker, two midfielders, possibly another centre back, and certainly at least one wide player. And that's necessities, five necessities. That's without building your squad. I mean, you look at Arsenal now, the reason they're top of the league is because they have a squad. The scary thing about Arsenal this year is they've had more injuries than us. Saliba, Gabriel, Odegaard, I think has been injured twice. Saka's been injured. Havertz injured. Jesus injured. These are all established Arsenal players. And then players that they bought have been injured, like Madueke, Gyökeres, Hincapié. They've had loads and loads and loads of injuries, Arsenal. But the reason they're top of the league is because they have an amazing squad. Amazing squad. Like, their bench is incredible. So I think we need five players for the first. I think we need five signings for the first team. And then you probably need another five to sort your bench out. So we're 10 signings away, I think. From being able to look at Arsenal and go, we can compete with you, I think we're 10 signings away. I think we're five signings away from having a decent first 11. So we're a long way off. We are a long way off. Definitely. Squash Forever says, Ten Hag was right on many things. Third place, Cups, Martinez, Mazraoui, De Ligt, Casemiro, Eriksen, Xerxes, Mainu, Mount, Yoro, etc. And Dark Moon says, as Ranić said, it's crystal clear. It's not that difficult. You don't even need glasses to see where the problems are now. It's about how we solve them. 6 to 8 players minimum for Amorim. Yeah, and I think that's the issue, isn't it? It's the ignorance around the midfield. It's the ignorance around the January transfer window that really bites. Because look, it bores me to say we need new owners because we need new owners, but we can't keep being a football club that doesn't change. Our mentality around the January transfer window. I'm bored of saying it. Liverpool, Man City and Chelsea treat the January transfer window like a shortened summer transfer window. But Man United don't. They've got this allergic like reaction to the January transfer window because they're money men. They don't like spending money in January. It suits them better to spend money at the start of the financial year and then know what they're doing for 12 months. That's what business people do. But football clubs look at January and go, what can we do? Man United hate it. We hate spending money in January. But it's absolutely essential that we do, because if Amorim is 5 to 10 players away from competing, you can't buy that many players in one window. So you're making the job longer. If you need, let's say United need, I mean, look, take into account he got 4 players in the summer, plus Dorgu. So that's 5. We need another 5 and potentially another 3. So let's say you look at the job when Amorim first comes in and he needs 13 players. I already know that under this regime, that's 1 summer transfer and 2, 3. That's 3 summer transfer windows to get 13 players if we do well. So that would be this summer transfer window, next summer transfer window, and the summer after that. So we're talking the start of the 27-28 season, and we're in the 25-26 season. So that's a long way away to get 13 players if you're only going to buy in the summer. If you buy in January, you can halve that time. But we won't do it. And that's my point. Like, we don't want to buy in January, but we want the fans to be patient with a manager that needs results now. And he can't get results if he doesn't have the players. We've just got the wrong owners. The wrong owner. You look at what Todd Boehly did at Chelsea. It was relentless. And we're not relentless. Not relentless at all. Seth says, there are only true transfer windows. While every other club is utilising both, we're saying don't want to do business for one and panic buying the other. Exactly. That's what I'm saying, Seth, as well. And also, the summer transfer market is ridiculously competitive. Everybody's got their Champions League money then, and everybody's in a better position than us. So you go into the summer transfer window and you want players like Gyökeres, but they go to Arsenal. You want players like Kenda, but they go to Chelsea. So you move down your list all the time, don't you? So we operate in a window where the bigger clubs operate in too. And the window we operate in, the bigger clubs are more powerful. So If Amrim's obsessed with starting Brusimero every game, and that's why Mainu barely plays, then who is supposed to join in January as a bench warmer, says Historia? You see, I get this point. And I suppose the question is, and Seb says Edison should come in January. What do you think? Oh, yeah, I'd be very happy with it. I personally, and this might sound a little bit controversial, I personally do not think that if we bring a midfielder in that Amrim likes in January, they'll just sit on the bench and not be used like Ugarte and Mainu. I personally think that Amrim would have dropped Casemiro for the Palace game if he had a viable alternative that he liked. I certainly do think that against Crystal Palace, he would not have played Casemiro and Bruno for 90 minutes if he had a player on the bench he likes. So I think if a midfielder comes in that he likes, he will give them game time. It'll be a completely and utterly different story. Ugarte and Mainu don't play because he doesn't like them. But if you give him a midfielder that he likes, then I think he will use them 100%. So look, let's say Edison comes in and he really likes him. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him starting ahead of Casemiro. I also wouldn't be surprised if Casemiro started, he brings Edison on in the 60th minute. So I just genuinely think Amrim doesn't like Mainu and Ugarte, so he doesn't use them, trust them, which is the key. Tell me a player that Amrim has been given that he doesn't use. He does use Dorgu. He does use Lemens. He does use Mbeumo. He does use Cunha, and he does use Sesko. Now, all of those players aren't his first choice. Some of them will have been forced upon him. I don't think Sesko was his... Well, Sesko wasn't his first choice striker. I'm not convinced Dorgu was the player that he really wanted, but he does use them. So if you bring a midfielder in, he will definitely use them. Mainu will play, guys. Relax, says GVN. Mate, we've been relaxed for 5 months and we've now fell asleep. When is he going to start then? Did Amrim decide in August that he was highlighting the Wolves away trip as a game for Mainu? I mean, come on, mate. Wake up and smell the coffee. It's 20 to 11 in the morning. You should be awake by now. When is he going to... What are we relaxing about? He doesn't trust him. He hasn't used him for 12 months. Doesn't trust him. Doesn't rate him. And he needs to get out of this football club and get out on loan. Why has everything gone quiet over Yulman, says Fran. I just don't think he's a fashionable target. I think it's fashionable for the media to push Anderson, Belaba and Wharton because they're Premier League players. I think you make a good point. I wouldn't be surprised if Yulman is on the list. I think it's a very good point. We don't talk about him, but I would not be surprised if he was a prominent midfielder on the list. I also think Manu Kone is on the list as well, based upon what I was told in the summer. Maybe Edison's on the list now. Still is certainly on the list. So I don't think Yulman's not on the list. I just think it's not a fashionable player for the journalists to talk about. So they want to talk about Anderson because he's the word of the moment. But the chances of us getting him are quite slim, I think. Ruben ain't going anywhere. The board is doing 2 years and renewing his contract. Watching other sports, it's looking like 4 to 5 years of him. That's why he talks about the ups and downs. I do think the standards of the football club in the fan base have been absolutely manipulated to a point of submission. When you think about protests and you think about things that have happened in the last 5 years and you look at where the club is at the moment and there is no appetite for any of those things now, I think the Glazers have played a blinder in working with Ineos and what they've done, because we're basically living in a world now where we can play shit football. We can lose to people like Everton at home. The club can be on its arse. You know, the lack of investment that is needed in the team isn't forthcoming. And yet everybody's just sitting there going, oh, let's see what happens next. I don't think since the Glazers have been here, I don't think we've been at a lower moment than we are now in relation to the fight against them. Like, nobody's doing anything against them anymore. They're just free to hide behind Sir Jim Radcliffe, who's basically a puppet. And all they're really focused on, all their efforts at the moment are on building that new stadium because that's going to make them a lot of money. I don't think the club's in a good state at all. I think the most positive anybody could say is, well, you know what? You know, you know, you know, we are only 2 points off second, and we are top of the XG list. But realistically, what's really going on? We might be in a race for fifth place. Well, I would have expected that of a Man United club, to be honest. And yeah, and we're about to build a stadium that's going to make the Glazers very rich. Great. So happy for them. You know, they've done such good for this club. I'll be so happy the day that get announced. Yeah, but look, you know, I'm part of that as much as you are. Like, I think the club's never been at a lower point. And yet everybody's just sat in there going, you know, what can we do about it? Because the honest answer is, what can we do about it? Our only hope was a couple of years ago, and the Glazers being selling up and moving out. They didn't. So we just have to hope whatever plan is in place to take Man United back to the top actually materialises. But to be at the top, you've got to consistently win. And I just don't think that I think hopefully we're going to win our next few games. But can we consistently win, which is what's required when you're a good side? I don't know. I mean, I was looking at this, actually. We've played 13 games and we've won 6, right? So what is the percentage exactly of 6 in 13? God, I'm struggling with that. 46%. So for this season, I don't count last season. So shut up. Do not talk to me about his overall win ratio, because I'm not interested. All I'm interested in this season is fifth place. So Ruben Amorim's win ratio at the moment in the Premier League is 46%. That's not horrific. He's got 6 wins, 3 draws, and 4 losses. If we win our next 3 games, which is... What's our next 3 games? West Ham at home, Wolves away, Brighton at home. If he wins his next 3 games, that'll be 9 wins in 16 games. And his win ratio will be 56%. So this is quite exciting, because I think win ratio is really important when you're a Manchester United manager, because we've sacked a lot of managers with win ratios of 53%, 58%, etc. And Amorim's win ratio has always been really low. Now, people are going to go, well, you can't do that. You've got to include last season. There's no point. If he beats West Ham, Wolves and Bournemouth, 2 of those games are at home, and one of them's against a team that's not won all season, our win ratio goes from 46% to 56% for the season. And at that point, I think you're in a much better psychological position. So let's see where we are after that Bournemouth game, because it would be great. My biggest worry is Bruno staying next season, says Seth. I mean, it's an ongoing conversation, Seth. If we get European football, I think he will stay. And if he stays, he's going to play in the midfield. Yeah, I don't really want another season of that, if I'm being completely honest. But, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I think if we don't get into Europe, he'll go. But I can't be dealing with not going into Europe. Law of the Dingle says, Mark, I highly recommend to look into the Chicago Bulls, and you'll see how I got to that idea. Great history, shitty owner. My American friends know. Ruben, he said, Ruben ain't going anywhere. That was from Law of the Dingle, who said Ruben isn't going anywhere. The board is doing 2 years and renew his contract. It's looking like 4 to 5 years of him. That's why he talks about the ups and downs. Look, I'd hate to think that we could be shit. I'd hate to think that the last 5 months is what we're going to have for the next 5 years. But if he doesn't get to a point where he's sackable, he's just frustrating, then Ineos won't sack him. They don't want to sack him. And they will back him because they're stubborn people who don't want to sack their guy. So I see it as a positive, but I can see it can also become a negative. We can't keep sacking managers. But the great thing is, if you have the right guy and you steady the storm, then hopefully it's plain sailing after that. But if you have the wrong guy and you're always in a storm, it's going to be a stormy 5 years, isn't it? Gregory says, even more ironic, ignoring the January transfer window when our best player post Sir Alex was signed in January, Bruno Fernandes. Exactly. Okay, right. Thank you everybody for watching. It's coffee time. Did I say that yesterday morning? Actually, I did, yeah. I need a coffee. My back's absolutely killing me this morning as well. I think I deserve a medal for getting through the show. Oh, I don't know what I've done. I suffer with lower back pain anyway. Jesus Christ. I mean, oh, it's absolute agony. I don't know what I've done. I really don't. I think I need to see a chiropodist. Actually, I think that's your feet. Not a gynecologist. I haven't got one of them. Chiropodist, a back person. That's what I need to see. I need to see one of them. Definitely. You're an old man. I'm not an old... Well, I am an... Well, I don't care. But the point is, my back injury's got nothing to do with old age. I actually got this back injury playing football. And it's... basically, I was playing when I was 20 against... it was a Sunday morning game. I shouldn't have been playing, really, because I was way above this level. But I wanted to play because I loved playing football. It was a Sunday morning game, pre-season, on a really hard pitch because it had been hot. And I used to like playing because I found it easy, because you're playing against piss heads and old people. And basically, I ran through the midfield, like driving through the midfield. And these two centre-backs, who were like five times the size of me, sort of ran together. And you know, like when you get, you know, when you get like a ketchup, a sausage that's, you know, got loads of ketchup on it, and you whack two baps together and it goes flying in the air. That was like that. I went flying in the air and landed on my lower back. And the next morning I woke up and I couldn't move my neck at all. From a lower back injury, I couldn't move my neck. I was like, I can't move my neck at all. And my mum was like, I think you need to go to A&E. And I was like, no, I'm going to Magaluf on Friday on a lad's holiday. If I go to hospital and they put me in a neck brace, I'm going to look a right prat. But that's how your brain thinks when you're 20. I was like, if I'd done that now, I'd be like, get me to hospital. I'm not moving my neck myself. I might have severe, you know, spinal issues. But I was like, I ain't going to hospital because they're going to put me in a neck brace, and I ain't going to a neck brace in Magaluf. So I just roughed it out, and I obviously did something to it, because it's never been right the same. But yeah, it was weird. I landed on my lower back and I couldn't move my neck for 2 days. Yeah. Somebody's probably said, you've broken your neck. I did have a scan on it a few years ago. And don't worry, people will be going, Mark, I think you might have seriously nearly done something. It was all right. I had a scan on it a few years ago, and it was my lower back. You know, like between your discs, there's like, they call it, I don't know what they call it, but like every disc has a like a sponge between it, and it's basically eroded completely. So I'm not having an operation on my back, though, because I used to work with somebody. They had an operation on their lower back in their early 40s. This is serious, right? They had an operation on their lower back in their early 40s. They were absolutely fine, fit as a fiddle, just had a bit of a bad back. Woke up paralyzed from the... I think they were paralyzed from the legs down, and brain damage. So I just think, don't have an operation on something that's not life-threatening, because just like you can get bad opinions in football, you can get surgeons who make silly mistakes. So just leave it. I'll put up with it. Thanks. Gers had two surgeries on his lower back. Yeah, I don't want to do it, to be honest. I'm live with Terry at 11, yes. Anyway, that was a bit of an after show and a morning show. We've got 2 o'clock show. 8 o'clock show was brilliant last night. If you didn't watch it, go back and give it a watch. But it's a 7 o'clock show tonight, because we've got three nights of the Premier League tonight. I think the big one is Newcastle against Spurs. Tomorrow, it's all the big dogs, the Chelseas, the Arsenals, the Liverpools, the Man Cities. And then Thursday night, it's us, smash it. Well, I'm not allowed to say what's going to happen to West Ham. It's us against West Ham on Thursday, and anything can happen. Because I'm not allowed to say it. I'm not allowed to say it. I'm not allowed. I'm banned. I'm banned from saying what I want to say. So it's Man United against West Ham on Thursday, and anything could happen. See you later. Thanks for watching. Yeah, be a fucking idiot. It'll be an easy win. Get with it.
Get your shopping done right this holiday season with Big Air Columbus. Right now, you can get $100 off Elite Player Passes at Big Air, which is unlimited play all day, any day. Or buy one $25 gift card, get a free pair of holiday grip socks, plus a 1.5 hour pass to use after the new year. Big Air is the perfect gift for the kids in your family. So get your holiday shopping done right with Big Air Columbus. Stop by today inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall or online at BigAirUSA.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.